Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
J. Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say I...
Your three choices are beginner.
Yes.
Intermediate.
Yes.
Or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you could be, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, J. Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
J. Cross.
Hello, that's me.
And Joe Branton.
Aha!
The sense of deja vu.
Yes.
For those of you who have been watching on youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, you'll know that this is the second time we've started this recording.
That's true.
This evening. And
same as it ever was.
It also plays into our big announcement this evening. This is going to be our last live streamed podcast. So if you watch the podcast on YouTube, you will know that... we often struggle with the video and the streaming stuff. Yes. So we have decided, we made the big decision. We all got together, all the big banter boys, and said, we are not going to do this anymore.
We're going back to audio.
We're going back to the glorious
audio
world
only.
Of audio. What
ASMR.
That, what? No.
ASMR nerds.
No, that's horrible. What that means is, if you normally watch on YouTube, if you want to still get the audio version of the podcast, and I highly suggest that you do, GuitarNerds.net/podcast is where you can stream it with a web player, or you can go to iTunes or Pocket Cast or Downcast or whatever you use for your podcasts and search for Guitar Nerds, and you will find us there.
What I might do is start video streaming myself.
No.
On
Periscope or something.
Yeah, it will be like...
Or Chat Roulette.
You know, when people like films in the cinema, that'll be what I'm doing. It will be like
you're just gonna upload it to the Pirate Bay
bootleg podcasting with Joe Branton.
Nerds.
I don't want that. So for those of you who normally watch on YouTube, it's been fun doing live streaming, and it's something that we want to continue in the future, but maybe not the whole podcast. Problem with that is that, you know, the podcasts are long. People don't watch the whole thing on YouTube. People have very small attention spans. So we might do some other live stream stuff. We'll obviously keep doing the top five, top 10 videos and Peddle of the Week and the live show, you know, going to live events and things like that that we do, and occasional pedal board showcases and stuff like that. But for now, this is going to be the last Guitar Nerds podcast streamed live to the YouTube. As proven this evening, it's problematic. With the big announcement out the way, Matt Knight, how are you?
I am ill.
Good. Good to know.
And I don't mean in the cool 90s way.
Down with the sickness.
No, I have a cold, but I was cheered up somewhat by coming down to see you boys at the weekend. It was great fun. We shot videos.
We drank tea. We had two whole days of video shooting. Not video shooting.
We hung out. You didn't hang out in the evening.
No.
And on Saturday evening, you were just...
You played like some sort of gig or something.
Yeah, I was playing a gig in Bristol. I played a show there. And my custom shop Ashdown cab stopped working.
Blew up.
It didn't blow up as much as it just stopped working, which isn't very good from like a £900 cabinet.
No. We'll come back to that story in a minute, I think. Matt Knight, tell us about the Peddle of the Week videos that we shot. What did we shoot and what stood out to you as being excellent?
Well, we shot less than we usually did, which was good because we got to spend a little bit more time and we could take our time. You know, we don't have a dedicated place to film, so we're usually in Joe's house, so we kind of have to... not rush the videos, that's the wrong way. We just kind of have to... We have a lot to get through for the time that we spend together in the same room, which is not much. But we got the new Bigfoot pedals, the mini series.
They're not that small, though, are they?
They're MXR size.
They're like standard pedal size.
But
Electro Harmonics call their normal size pedals the Nano series.
No, they call them the Neo.
Oh, do they?
And Nano.
No. Neo is just... There was only one pedal called Neo, and that was the Neo clone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird, actually, because they
do...
The
other one's Nano.
They refer to the medium size pedals as Neo.
Yeah.
But the only one that says Neo on it...
Is a smaller one.
Is a Nano pedal.
Yeah.
No, the medium size ones are called the XO series.
Oh, are they?
The ones like the ones that are like the Freeze... Like the Freeze and that. They're...
No, the freeze is Neo. Nano.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
The Freeze is Nano.
XO
is the medium-sized one.
I've never heard them referred to as the XO series.
The executive officer, Colonel Ty.
I don't think they necessarily go, this is our mini series, this is our XO series, this is our large series. They just have pedals. It's only for companies that make, like Bigfoot, that kind of have the same pedal and then... You know, a pedal and then the same one in a much smaller format. These ones are in MXR sized enclosures, and they're all basically the same. So there's the King Fuzz Mini, the Trouble Booster Mini, and the Thunder Pup Mini, all of which are the same circuit apart from the Thunder Pup, which is just one channel of the full size one,
because it had a big amp little amp on the ordinary
big amp little amp.
This one just has the big amp.
And as I said in the video, the thing I like about Reese is that he designs all the circuits from the ground up. You know, a lot of people would take a basic circuit idea and then modify it, try different components, different transistors, but Reese kind of designs everything from the ground up, from kind of like the sound in his head to the breadboard to the final pedal, which I really like. I think it allows him to create something a little bit more unique.
Yeah.
Because you don't really go, oh, this sounds like... You know, he's tried to, like, pigeonhole it so people can understand it. But then when I play them, I'm like, it doesn't really... It gives you so much... Like, he says the big amp is like a Marshall Plexi, but I don't think it gives you the same...
It doesn't sound like a Marshall Plexi. It's not... They're not really... No. He doesn't really go down the amp in the box route. And I also think, like, the Trouble Booster... isn't a treble booster at all. I actually don't think it gives you that kind of...
It boosts the
trouble. It's just more of like a nice low gain pedal, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. And I think it depends what you run it into. But I think the thing about Reese is, for a long time, especially when I've seen him play gigs. I know, Jay, you've probably seen him play way more gigs than I have. But the last couple gigs that I saw him play, it was his Les Paul straight into an amplifier. He stopped using a tuner.
Of course.
Last gig that I saw him.
Who needs
and
one?
It was the amp that he built himself, which was a preamp with one control and a power amp with one control. And I think that's...
Which was something that he built himself. Well, that amp that he had was... When we were, like, 16, I guess. Yeah, I've known Reese for, like, 15 years. No, not quite 15 years, but, like, since we were, like, 15, 16. And when we were 16, he bought a Blues Breaker, which was a heavy amp when you're 16.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a heavy amp now, but it's a heavy amp when you're 16. And, like, he had that for, like, 5 years or something, and then went, this is too heavy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it apart and rebuild it. And so took it apart and rebuilt it into, like, some wicker cabinet.
Who, at 16, who does that? Who goes, do you know who I am?
Well, I mean, he was, like, 19 when he did that.
But do you know who I'm better than? Marshall.
I know, nuts.
I can build this amp better than this.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyway, those pedals, they all sounded great, as you would expect them to, because they're Bigfoot pedals and they all sound great.
Yep, sound really nice.
When we played the King Fuzz, it did just sort of... I think one of the reasons I like it so much, and I haven't really thought about it before, but I think one of the reasons I like it so much is it isn't really a fuzz. It's not really a fuzz. No, it's like a drive pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a kind of... It's like an out of control but controllable drive pedal, as opposed to being like a bonkers fuzz or even a controllable fuzz.
It doesn't.
I think it's just like a dynamic. It's just
it's very
dynamic distortion, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like
it doesn't fall into the trappings that most fuzzes available now do, which is like, okay, on the lighter side, they're kind of like Big Muffy, and then you turn it all the way up, and it goes to like 8-bit squelchy, you know, like broken computer fuzz.
Yeah.
The King Fuzz doesn't do that at all. It doesn't really fall into that market. It's a completely different sound altogether.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it cool. So what else did we demo, Matt?
Well, I thought the ultimate joy was the Mataverse Warble Space Deluxe Delay. Is that right? Was that the right way?
It is the
there it is.
The Warble Swell Deluxe Delay.
Yeah.
So this is one that I've been banging on about.
Absolutely amazing.
I've been banging on about this one on Instagram and also on Facebook because the guy Matt from Mataverse was really nice to deal with, was really enthusiastic about Guitar Nerds and stuff and really wanted to send the pedal over. But also because I heard some samples of it before we got it and it sounded so good. He's got a really good, until our demo goes live, go and check out his demo, which is on, I think it's mataverseelectronics.com, or just search for Mataverse Electronics. So we shot a little...
It's actually just mataverse.com.
Oh, is it? Okay, cool. So we shot a little bit of video with that went up in the Facebook group on Saturday night, and then we shot the full pedal demo on Sunday. So Matt, how would you describe what it is?
It is a analog voiced, more like a tape delay voiced... digital delay with foot switchable modulation and oscillation controls.
Yeah.
So imagine something that sounds a little bit like, it sounded a lot like MySpace Echo, but you could switch in the modulation and you could also then hold a separate button down, like a momentary button, and basically bring it into infinite repeats.
Now that,
but usable.
That is...
Like you can actually... Yeah, that was the thing. Swell time, he calls it. So all the way maximum, it never really gets to full oscillation. And then all the way minimum, it instantly oscillates.
Yeah.
So somewhere in between, you can get these kind of cool, massive, sort of vibey delay swells.
That's really the thing that makes this pedal stand apart, though, having that unlatching switch. And actually, to be honest, having such control over the modulation of the delay as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can get some Digitech Time Bender-esque modulation out of this, but then the ability to drop in that the infinite repeats as and when is so usable.
Yeah,
and for me, like, I was looking at them a little bit more today because I briefly looked at their website when I was doing some reading up about it, and then when we were talking about it after we filmed the video, And then I was on his website some more, and he makes some amazing other bits of kit. And then the thing that was mind-blowing about this delay was it was $179.
They seem so reasonable.
I'm certain if it had another brand name on it, it would be $300.
If this was being made by Pigtronics, this would be a $300. This pedal would be $300.
But the thing is, that because of the nature of the features on this pedal, if this was $300, we'd be saying, I mean, it's $300, but look at these incredible features you have. This is why it's worth the money.
So I actually was listening to the Guitar Knobs podcast.
Don't promote other podcasts on this podcast.
I'm gonna do it.
How dare you?
I'm gonna do it. I was listening to the Guitar Knobs podcast this week, and they had Matt from Mattiverse.
Did they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, yeah. He was on the podcast with them.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, and he seems like a really, really nice guy. Like super, super nice. He was really funny actually, because he was saying like, look, all my pedals are like pretty esoteric. Like, I'm not trying to be Chase Bliss. I'm not trying to be Boss. I'm not trying to take a sound that has been done really, really well and like rehouse it.
Do it again.
Yeah, completely. He was basically saying like, most of my pedals are like not very useful. And I just thought that was really cool that he was like, he's not making a big song of dance, because most of these pedals aren't very useful.
So a lot of his stuff is...
I haven't seen much of the range.
So the one he was talking about really excited about, that I really want to spend some time with, is the Drone Tone.
Yep.
Which is like, he was just saying, it's just like, or the Guitar Knobs guys were saying that it's like, it just adds like a drone at... It sounds utterly useless.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
utterly useless, but
is,
I bet it sounds amazing.
I did some research into this. It's basically a one oscillator synth that you can tune into the key that your guitar's playing in. So your guitar signal always runs through it, but it's kind of, got this oscillator that you can then set to like a square wave, so it actually pulses. So you've almost got this like droney rhythm.
Oh, this sounds
so
like
you put
the best pedal ever.
Completely. And he said, so one of the other things he said was he used to do a pedal called, I think it was called like the Gator Drone or the Gator Fuzz or something like that, and it was a fuzz pedal with the drone tone in there. And he was like, oh yeah, basically I made a bunch of these, and everyone was like, right, well this sounds great, but I never used the fuzz. So he just went, okay,
just take the fuzz out,
take the fuzz out and do it. I guess it was a bit cheaper, but honestly, please, listeners, sorry Mark, I'm gonna do it, please let me on next week, but go and listen to the Guitar Knobs podcast with Matt from Mattiverse on there. Check him out. His Instagram page is wicked. Like his demo videos, he's in front of a green screen, I guess.
Yeah. He puts a lot of stuff on the green screen. So the video for the Warble Swell, he's just got it like on a beach essentially, but green screened. Yeah, they're really good. It's the first brand that's kind of stood out to me for ages, because he's not doing like, oh, here's a nice fuzz or here's a nice delay pedal.
Completely.
I mean, this is a nice delay pedal, but he's also saying for most players, some of the features on this will be useless. And actually the Warble Swell is kind of the most useful of his pedals.
Yeah.
Like he's got the Octus Step, which is a step sequencer.
Yeah, the Octus Step and the Terror Step.
Which are they're step sequencers, aren't they? That play octave tuned square wave.
Yeah. So one does 4, one does 8. But I thought the great thing was that the guitar signal runs straight through it.
Yeah. So you can basically have it as like a accompaniment basically, and you play guitar over the top.
Yeah. But the other nice thing compared to some other companies that do something similar is it's got a reset button. So every time you hit the reset button, it goes back to 1. So you can actually then play in time with what you're doing, because usually if you've got some sort of sequencer going over the top, it doesn't necessarily restart with every string hit.
Yeah.
So this one,
oh,
you can,
I see
kind
what you
of
mean.
Reset it.
Okay.
They all...
And you can put 2 expression pedals in that. So there's like features that you can do with it.
features.
Because they actually make the drone tone, they actually make a 3 oscillator version that then basically goes in like 3 different beats. So you can actually like make some cool beats from 3 different oscillators as well.
That's amazing.
Matt, this really cool. Sounds like the sort of thing that you need for the ungiggable rig.
Yeah.
Well, it just sounds like a cooler, more usable, tweakable version of a random time generator.
Yeah. And I guess with this, you've also got an in, whereas the random time generator, it only sends a signal. You can't put anything into it.
Yeah. I mean, the Tetra step, which is the four-step sequencer, is $150, which I think is, like, incredibly reasonable. The drone synthesizer with three oscillators is $119.
Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It seems really cool. As I say, he seems like a really affable guy. Yep. So please, like him on Instagram, check him out. I'm really looking forward to Mataverse in 2017. I think there's going to be some cool stuff.
Definitely. Talking of bizarre pedals, Matt, we also did a demo of the Walrus Audio Luminary, which is a bit of a weird one.
It is a bizarre pedal.
Tell us about it.
Look.
There it is.
For the last time ever on live video feed. It's the Walrus Audio Luminary 4-octave generator. Poly-octave generator.
Yes.
It's definitely not a POG. No. So it's basically 4 octaves, 2 down, 1 down, 1 up, with 3 presets that also gives you a filter, modulation, and then what I kind of liked, an attack control, which controls the, what they say, bloom of the octave. So when you hit it, how long it takes for the octave to come in.
Yeah.
Really nice. It gave you those kind of those POG-like organ sounds, basically, but more modulated, a little bit more synthy, more pad-like. And I like the fact that it was just like pretty simple controls on top. And the expression pedal could do a mixture of everything on the control front. So you could do a low setting and a high setting, and an expression pedal could control all 8 controls at once.
Yeah, it's in various
different forms.
It's a more functional POG, isn't it? It does a bit more stuff than the standard POG.
I must admit, it's tricky because with a POG 2, you've got the sliders, and I kind of like that. I like having the sliders and things on it. But it gives you, I just think it gives you a very different sound to the POG.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded a little more mechanical and more kind of glitchy and stuff, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, because the POG definitely sounds, I suppose, when you've got the filters off, it sounds way more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounded a bit more synthy.
It did, definitely, and it's got that, what do they call, the flutter control, which is the modulation, which does all the kind of weird glitchiness if you ramp it all the way up and stuff. So, yeah. Definitely out there. One more set of things I wanted to talk about was the Bright Onion pedals, which we've spoken about before. We finally got a chance to really plug those in and give those a good showing.
These were totally super awesome. So these are... Four mini pedals.
The
Brighton pedal manufacturer.
Bright Onion. So 4 pedals. The Russian, which is a little Russian Big Muff. The Soap, which is a clean boost. Get it?
Yeah.
The Baking Powder, which is a compressor. And the Mouse. Which is a rat clone.
Yeah.
So Matt, the one that stood out to me really was the baking powder,
the compressor.
The compressor.
Because this compressor is one control. It's a single control, and essentially that control is level. So everything else is like a predefined preset.
Yes.
And they've got it spot on. Like, who would have thought of that? Like, compressors are the ultimate fiddling around with pedal to get something right for you, but this worked. It sounded amazing. You actually used it when Matt does the demo. He used it in conjunction with the mouse as well for some of it.
Yeah, that sounded great.
It sounded great, but yeah, baking powder was banging.
The baking powder I like a lot. So this is based on the Dan Armstrong compressor that you plugged into your guitar. Is that right, Matt?
The Orange Squeezer, yeah. So they were square boxes that you plugged basically direct into your guitar with no extra controls, and then they just had an output that allowed you to go straight into your amplifier.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was basically just a compressor, but I thought it just made everything sound like beefier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. When you turned it off, everything just sounded a bit weak.
Yeah, yeah.
We tried it on Saturday night with a telly and the Les Paul. And on the Les Paul, it was a little underwhelming. But with the telly, it sounded incredible.
It was proper, like, tick-tacky. Yeah. It was so good.
When we put it into the Les Paul, I was just like, yeah, I don't know why we even bothered. Compressors are pointless and they sound rubbish, which was basically what I've always thought. And then we put it into the telly, and I was like, okay, no, fair enough. This sounded really good.
Great.
It did sound great,
but there are loads of great compressors out there. It's just normally they have, like, you know, 4 to 6 controls on there in order to make them great. I just thought it was remarkable that this sounded as good as it did. Like, it sounded like a high-quality compressor with a single control.
What I like is that it's not ratio. It's not compression amount. Yeah. It's just level.
Yeah, exactly, so which is the one you actually... Well, I guess you need.
The one that you really need is ratio, because you want to be able to select how much compression.
I guess so.
The level should just be balanced. I just like that they've gone, we're going to tell you how much you're compressing by. We're going to tell you what the attack is, what the release is.
But it was right. It was right.
Yeah, totally. It sounded fantastic.
It was so appropriate. And the best part about all these pedals is they're £60 each.
Something like that. Is that right, Matt? £60?
Yeah, we don't ever give the prices in the video, because obviously prices might change and someone might watch the video in a couple of years. But the prices are £50 for the baking powder.
That's ridiculous.
They're made to order as well in Brighton by James himself. The soap is £40 and the Russian and the mouse.
For some context, £50 is £10 less than you can get a Moore Blue Comp for.
Yeah.
And it is... Yeah, 100 times better.
And these are hand built locally to us.
Solid controls.
Oh, and the boxes are actually really substantial
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boxes are solid, nice and small, but very, very sturdy indeed. So that was the pedal of the week stuff. Has anyone else got any guitar stuff to share? Joe, your cab blew up, is that right?
Oh, yeah, that was a bit
unusual. What happened?
A really strange thing. It was so it happened during the support band, who are friends of ours, and the bass just cut out at one point, sort of halfway through a song, and so the bass player goes down to his pedal board. That's the standard thing you'd expect. Checks all his connections; they're all fine. Then he thinks maybe it's a cable.
Okay.
So he changes a cable, but you know that nothing's working. So I sort of work my way forward onto the stage to help him out, and we were saying, well, maybe it's the head, like it's not his pedal board, it's not his cables, maybe it's his head. So I swapped it over to my head, plugged everything in the back for that, and still nothing. So he was like, maybe the bass. And
you don't expect it to be the cab, is the workhorse of the
exactly. And these are and mine's a £900 custom shop.
Yeah, it should be all right.
15-inch cab. But I think, and basically he was saying afterwards that it cut just after he'd put on his DOD meat box.
Do you think basically the low end has just completely popped?
Well, a pedal, I don't think it popped the speaker, no, because you'd get the it would start to distort. This just cut. I think it was a loose piece of solder. I mean, the DOD meat box is known as the PA destroyer.
Right.
So, I think there was probably some loose soldering going on there,
rattled it free, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't had a chance to open it up and have a butcher's yet, but I imagine that what it is. What a testament to the DOD meat box.
Yeah, the cab destroyer now, as well as the PA destroyer.
Was it a modern one or was it a vintage one?
Oh, I don't know. The DOD meat box, I'm not sure. I think it was one of the reissues.
One of the most recent ones.
Don't know if that really makes...
Sorry?
I don't know if that made a difference or not. I think they might have scaled back the modern one. So I think the vintage one is even more subby.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Exciting stuff. Blowing up cabs all around the world. Joe Branton. Jake Ross, any guitar news?
Only that we did all this stuff this week.
Yeah, I do feel like we've seen each other way more than normal.
Yeah.
Oh, and I really want a new bass.
Oh, do we have to get into this now?
I've been asking for your opinion on stuff, Mark Packham, and you haven't been very forthcoming.
Why don't we could do that in Patreon this week.
We'll talk about it in Patreon.
We could do a rundown of the things that you're looking at, and then we can all slag them off and you can try and defend them.
Yeah, okay.
How about that?
I guess the other thing to talk about that's pertinent to this week is this weekend coming, which will be the 25th
and
6th. I think of February 2017.
Okay. Star date?
This classified, I'm afraid.
Okay, fine.
We will be at the guitar show in Birmingham.
The Birmingham Guitar Show.
No,
it's just called the Guitar Show.
It's the Guitar Show.
I love their website.
It just says it's just the Guitar Show, isn't it?
No, they've made like someone's made some graphics out of like pedals.
Oh, mate, don't slag them off. They've given us some press passes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's some cool, like Dark Glass are going to be there. I'm really looking forward to seeing Dark Glass. Yep. And everybody, Guitar Nerd's favourite, Mark Bass, they're going to be there. That's going to be great, isn't it?
Actually, well, no, do you know why that's good? Because that means that DV Mark will be there.
DV Mark will be there.
Unlike Mark Bass, DV Mark are absolutely completely brilliant.
Maybe you could try and blag yourself a cab that isn't blown up.
No, I don't want that. I was going to give Eden a call.
No, stick with Ashdown. They're good old boys.
But yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there definitely on Saturday, hopefully on Sunday, but we'll see. So if you're there and you see us ambling about, please come say hello to maybe not Joe.
Yeah, don't say hello to Joe. Absolutely.
No, do come say hello. Come and buy me a coffee because I will be tired because I'm doing the driving.
Yeah.
I will be giving out slightly longer than is comfortable hugs all day.
No one wants that.
Well,
no one wants that.
Come and get one.
So yeah, guitar show this weekend in Birmingham. Do come and say hello. Should we do some news?
Good.
First up, Jay Cross, do you want to tell us about Kurt Cobain, who is 50 today, apparently, or would have been 50 today, his Hagstrom Deluxe guitar up for auction.
Yeah.
Charity auction.
It's gone up for a lot of money, isn't it?
I don't know. You're supposed to be telling me.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Oh. It's, come on, Jay.
Always rely on Matt Knight. He actually does the research.
I've been busy.
All right, why don't you take a guess? Why don't you all take a guess? Okay. What do you think it's currently up for?
$15,000.
Joe Branton?
A quarter of a million.
I'm going to go somewhere in between those two. I'm going to go for $115,000.
Mark Packham is the closest.
Oh, yes. No. Mine was in Ugandan dollars.
You have no idea what that is. I said 115,000. How much is it?
$75,000 with 5 days to go.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen him play.
The Hagstrom, no.
No, I've never seen a picture of
Hagstrom,
that.
A Hagstrom Blue Sparkle Deluxe.
Was it
apparently
even...
the story goes... Sorry, go on, Joe. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, was it even left-handed?
It was a right-handed model that he had strung up. So the story goes that basically in December of 1992 or late 1992, Kurt Cobain phoned his guitar tech when they were staying in Seattle and said, go and find me this specific Hagstrom guitar. He found one, and then he found several other guitars in other Sparkle finishes, all by 60s Italian brands, and Kurt Cobain told him to buy them all. He delivered them all to his hotel room. He kept the Hagstrom and gave the rest away to his friends, and then after he passed, this guitar got handed to another one of his friends, and it's been in his possession ever since.
I wonder,
and give totally some of the cool. donation to charity.
I wonder how he stumbled across that, because obviously later on in the career when Pat Smear joined the touring Nirvana lineup, he had used Hagstrom for
quite a while. Yeah, he has his own signature Hagstrom even today.
And now he's got his own signature Hagstrom. He, out of kind of all of mainstream guitar players, I think has probably done the most for Hagstrom, or certainly did in the 90s.
Certainly, it's the only signature model that they have in their current custom.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and they've had it for years.
But a bit weird. Maybe it was a thing where, you know, Kurt maybe like saw the germs and saw that Pat Smear was using a Hagstrom and then went,
I bet that's exactly what happened. What happened.
That sounds the most likely, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I've just released Nevermind. I've got loads of money.
I mean, they were a proper obscure brand. They would have been super obscure.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think, I think it's great that obviously a lot of it's going to charity, and hopefully the people playing it are obviously buying it for, you know, like a collection or something like that. But it's just, it's a shame it's not one of the like more popular ones. But then at the same time, it's kind of good that someone wouldn't spend like $4 million on his like Jagstang and then it just sit in a case, I suppose.
Well, that's as we've seen from, you know, with the videos that we've done about the world's most expensive guitars and stuff, it usually just goes to a collector.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And then sits in the case, and then a couple of years later, they sell it on for another £1 million.
I mean, even like Planet Hollywood or what's the other one? Hard Rock Cafe. Even if one of them got it, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I don't, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I quite like you say, Matt. It's going to charity, and it's all seems to be pretty cool.
I saw.
Yeah, I wonder if when they sold it, they thought, or when they were selling it, they had an idea in their mind of how much they thought it might be worth.
I guess with that,
5,000.
It's hard to judge, isn't it? Because like, it's not a famous guitar of his. It just has a connection with him. But yeah. I guess it depends on like.
It's coming through quite a. It's coming through a really famous vintage guitar retailer,
right?
Grunes Guitars in Nashville. They're like one of the leading vintage guitar retailers in the world, and you have to get pre-approved to bid on it. So
right.
You can't just, because it started at 99 cents. So like, obviously, some idiot's going to go, oh yeah, I'll just whack 100 grand on there for a laugh because they think it might go for more, and then obviously it goes for $99,980, and then they're like, oh yeah, don't really want it. So yeah, you have to be pre-approved before you.
They have to essentially
before you bid
do a credit check or something on you, I'd imagine,
guess
to see
so.
Whether you
yeah.
can you could actually
I think
pay
they just
that
have
money
to, that you're like a real person and
right.
you've bid on stuff before, and I think you have to call them and stuff like that. It's yeah, I think which I kind of think is good, you know, because. You just don't want to waste someone's time.
No.
You know, because that is a lot of money to go, oh, yeah, and then go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave it. Really. I'll leave it.
As an aside,
yeah.
when I saw that it was Kurt Cobain's birthday, the reason that I saw it was Kurt Cobain's birthday today was I saw a meme on Twitter that was, happy birthday, Kurt Cobain. This is what he would have looked like today. And it was Noel Edmonds, but it was Noel Edmonds holding an Epiphone Nighthawk.
Yeah, I saw that. Left-handed,
but it wasn't left-handed. They had just got onto like they'd flipped the image
right.
so that it was left-handed.
So it was backwards.
But it's like, I just
who's going to care about that much detail
but,
about that?
But
meme?
No, it wasn't that. It was like why. How did it end up being an Epiphone Nighthawk? Like, did because if you go to Google and type in guitar,
yeah,
I'm sure that's not the first thing that comes up.
Surely
like,
you could put in Kurt Cobain guitar and you'd get a more accurate result than an Epiphone Nighthawk. Like, but then also to go to the effort of flipping it left-handed when it's completely the wrong guitar just makes
it
no
just,
sense.
It didn't make any sense. But that I actually thought that was far funnier than the fact that it was Kurt Cobain, Noel Edmonds. But
yeah,
there
yeah.
go.
Yeah, yeah.
The internet.
Let's talk about the new Seymour Duncan Duality pickups. Matt Knight, have you read up on this? They're claiming it's sort of a hybrid active-passive pickup. Is that right?
Yeah, I wish I could actually try them or have someone explain a little bit more about them, because they're still an active pickup, but they're passive voiced.
Okay, so...
Which I was a bit like, they're basically, their concept behind it is merging the best of active and passive technology. So it's an active pickup, but voiced, so you've got a passive...
This like sounds output, so active dynamics. So weird, because of course, yeah, I guess that's it's going to be the dynamics, isn't it? Because of course, the disadvantage of active pickups are that you have a battery attached.
Well, I guess the real
so
for
making
me,
something that sounds like a pickup that you don't need a battery for.
Yeah, that is weird. It is weird,
but then it's so that you can have this sort of. It's a good idea in a sense, because what's great about active pickups is obviously having onboard tone shaping.
Yeah.
That's really what you want.
Yeah.
The problem that a lot of players have with active pickups is that they are very one-trick pony. They're so high output.
All output power.
If they can make like a dynamic sounding, you know, more vintage voiced pickup, but give you the tone controls that you'd normally have to have on a preamp on the floor or on your amp head, then that just seems win-win. This seems like a great idea.
Yeah. I think the idea is that it's passive. It's an active onboard preamp, but you have the tonal benefits of like the clarity that you'd get from a PAF, but then also for metal stuff, it's got that super aggressive, tight high end if you're using loads of gain.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds great. This sounds like a really good idea.
The thing for me is that whenever I hear players using active pickups with a fair amount of gain, everyone just sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because that's the idea of active pickups. You know, they squash the sound and make everything even, you know, super compressed.
Works.
Which means that
clean tones really nicely.
No, I don't think it does work for clean tones. I think you suffer even more with that because you don't pick up any of the playing dynamics. So everyone just sounds pretty much the same.
Well, I guess, I kind of like that overcompressed sound, which sort of active pickups lend themselves towards a little bit.
Yeah, I just think if they can find a nice place to sit in between that, you know, the tonal shaping, but without all that kind of overcompressed sound, I'll be interested in these. Interested
let's,
to,
let's
see. To see what
they're
doing.
I mean, they're $120 for
one pickup.
Blimey. Yeah, so
I mean, that's how much pickups are.
No, it's not. Pickups are like Seymour Duncans are like 40 quid, 50 quid.
Well, yeah, but if you buy a like bare knuckle, they're 100 quid.
Oh, yeah,
a pop.
Yeah, true.
That's, well, yeah, but I guess you can only compare like with like, Seymour Duncan versus Seymour Duncan.
At first, I thought it was going to be a pickup system that allowed you to combine active and...
like a blend control.
Passive pickup. Well, just that you could have like an active bridge pickup, but a neck... sort of thing.
I mean, I guess systems like that do exist because, you know, piezo pickups are active. So there are guitars that have a blend of passive pickups and like a piezo. So I don't know how that all works on a...
because normally you can't have two humbuckers and one be active.
Yeah, I guess
that's
the problem, isn't it? Anyway, I think it's an interesting concept. We'll have to see how it plays out. Joe Branton, tell us about the brand new Steve Vai Carvin Audio Legacy Drive VLD1.
Well, this is as ridiculous as it is brilliant.
I mean,
it's such a Steve Vai. Like, I think when I heard the name, I just thought, Steve Vai's got a drive pedal, and in your head, I think of an MXR box, maybe in like a Passion and Warfare sort of swell finish, with like, you know, gain.
Some of
output,
his blood like, mixed into the paint.
Yeah, something like that. Two or three controls on there. Like, that's what I thought. That's what I had in my head when I heard it.
No, that's so wrong, though. You're so wrong.
But of course, Steve Vai takes everything to the nth degree, so why not do exactly the same thing with a drive pedal? Introducing the Carvin Legacy Drive with Steve Vai also on a signature on there. This thing is almost the size of an amp head.
To kick off, it's got a light up Steve Vai logo on
it. Yes, yes. But it's a very tasteful sort of surf green.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone for a monkey handle on there.
Well, yeah, the monkey grip. So tell us what it sounds like.
So it's a a three presettable drive pedal. So it's more like a preamp. The idea is that you can take your tone everywhere with you with this. So you get three, kind of in the same sense of like a Sans Amp preamp would be. You've got three individual foot switchable, savable control sounds, and then you have, well, is that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 rotary controls.
That's ridiculous
for the drive. The pedal actually also has a 12AX7 valve on board as well. I mean, it's not that's not unheard of. Drive pedals and compressors.
I think the idea is that it's basically his preamp from his Carvin pedals in one unit, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge
basically
unit.
Basically, his Carvin amp in one, in a pedal.
Yeah, because the legacy stuff is his signature stuff, isn't it? Carvin legacy is the Steve Vai stuff. So legacy
they've
drive
been for years.
It makes sense, I guess, that they've now brought it down into pedal format. But 11 rotaries on there is bizarre. Well, not bizarre. I mean, you know, as you say, Steve Vai takes it to the he pushes it to the limit.
And
what I like is that it's basically got clean, or one foot switch does clean or drive, so two channel, and then gain is like an extra gain boost, but then you've still got an on off switch, so you can just turn it off if you want to.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have just been like you'd have had clean or drive and then just on, but I don't know.
It looks huge,
but also you can
in
plug
the photos.
It into a effects loop, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the same for any preamp, isn't it? You could just plug anything in straight into the return of an effects loop.
But it's also got it's got straight through, so you can use it like a normal drive pedal, and it's got the ability to effects loop.
Okay.
Because usually those preamps are kind of like they've got some sort of cab voice in them, or they're more like a distortion pedal than they are a preamp. So
yeah, nice. I think interesting. Whether it will be something we'll be able to get our hands on, probably not, because it probably costs £1 million.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's retailing at. I can't find that, but I mean, it looks totally ridiculous and amazing at the same time. I mean, it's a weird thing, isn't it, in to have a hugely oversized, you know, preamp essentially in sort of 2017.
It's huge.
Yeah, that just seems like a weird choice.
Yeah. But then, if you're a Steve Vai fan and you you can't stretch or don't want to go for the big Carvin amp that they do, because I think it's a 100 watt head and 412. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah.
If you want that,
and I mean, it's a very specific sound. I think with that kind of Steve Vai thing, it's very much his sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, in a way is, you know, people. That's kind of what it's all about, really, isn't it? It's, if you're buying that sort of amp, that amp is designed for him to use live. To now his,
yeah, definitely.
So if you buy that, it is a very, very specifically tuned amplifier.
J Cross, one last bit of news this week: the Electro-Harmonix Synth 9.
Yeah, this one sort of came out of nowhere. I think it was announced this afternoon.
I only heard about it when Joe Branton told me about 10 minutes ago.
Well, Electro-Harmonix seem to be keeping up their last year's sort of, you know, a pedal every month sort of thing.
No, last year was a drought. It was the year before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Last year there was only a couple. Two or three last year.
Really?
Yeah, there wasn't that many Electro-Harmonix pedals last year.
Because we had all of the Mel 9 last year.
That was the year before.
Really? Crikey. Okay. Was it?
Time flies.
Well, the Mel 9 was last year.
Maybe the Mel 9.
No, the Mel 9 was.
The two Key9 and B9 and C9.
They were last year or the year before. I'm still working in the shop.
But because we've already, this year, we've had the Canyon has already come out. They released the Canyon,
and
which was essentially a TC.
Operation Overlord,
right?
Which
was
the distortion.
The Overdrive.
Yep.
Right.
But anyway.
And there was another one as well at NAMM. There were three pedals from NAMM.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway.
The Synth 9.
This looks absolutely fantastic.
This is the 1980s.
I think this might be the best 9 pedal that they've done so far. It sounds absolutely phenomenal. So if you're familiar with the Electro-Harmonix 9 range, which I'm sure most people listening to this podcast are, this just carries on the tradition of you know, going down that route. It has more specific synth sounds in it, and I think, unfortunately, to the people that bought a B9, it might sort of render that redundant, because I just think, from the videos, obviously we've not heard it yet, but from the videos that we've heard...
This doesn't do organ stuff, though, does it, which is what's in the B9?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Yeah, I suppose, you're right.
I think they're actually all quite individual.
B9 does a couple of electric
pianos. Yeah, the Mel Nine's got some stuff on there that sort of.
Yeah, I mean, for me, from the video that we've heard from Electroharmonix, this one is the best sounding. It's, you know, pretty simple setup. You've got dry volume and wet volume, and then you've got two parameters through which you can control various things, mm-hmm. and they appear to be quite coy on exactly what that is. I assume it varies from sound to sound. No presets, which I guess is maybe a bit of a drag. But other than that, go and check it out immediately because it sounds bloody lovely.
No presets? What do you mean?
There aren't any...
Like, you can't save your own presets.
Oh, right, you can't save. Yeah, because it has nine sounds.
There's nine sounds in there, yeah, but you can't save anything.
Including one that they're calling the Mood Bass, which is like a moogy sort of subby synth sound, which sounded great in the demos. They played Beverly Hills Cop theme. What's that called? Axel F.
Yes.
Yeah.
They played that in the...
Oh, man, it just makes me want to watch Beverly Hills Cop. Whenever I even think about that song, I just think, yeah, I want to watch it. Yeah. Maybe we should do a
Judge Reinhardt.
Let's do a Judge Reinhardt.
Reinhardt.
We should do a Guitar Nerds commentary on Beverly Hills Cop. There's no guitars featured in it in any way, but...
But he does have a ghetto blaster rocket launcher.
He does, that's right.
Spoilers.
Is that not in... that's not in one. That's in three. When they're in the amusement park.
Where it's gone very downhill.
Probably
by three.
One of the worst films I've ever seen. But one is excellent. Anyway, so I guess that's all the news for this week. Well done, chaps. Little round of applause for yourselves, I think.
News.
Well done.
I felt like it went on for a while.
Well, there's been a lot of news, a lot of stuff. Talking about going on for a while, we've got about 15 minutes left of this episode, and I feel we've come to an impasse. We could either do Brand of the Week, which Joe Branton has.
How about, rather than us choosing, I'll do Brand of the Week super quick, and then we'll take some questions.
No, we've got a lot of questions. I think we should do questions. Brand of the Week goes to the Patreon episode, as well as...
I need to tell people about this brand, though.
Well,
I'll spend 30 seconds.
That gives them, they sign up for the Patreon, they learn about the brand. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. Okay, so if you want to hear about Joe Branton's interesting brand, as well as...
It just means I've got to repeat myself on Facebook now.
It's going to be a brand... No, don't give it away for free.
I want people to know about it.
I want the moolah. I want the big bucks. I want the horrendously large P.
It's also not that interesting.
Yes, it is.
No, it is. Okay. It's big. What are you talking about?
Sorry.
It's
great news. Whose side am I on?
Big dollar. Oh, so I reckon we move Brand of the Week. What's the brand called that you're going to be talking about?
Oh, right. Well, that's basically all I needed to say. I could have done it in sort of the 30 seconds that you guys have been dicking around.
Got to build hype. Got to get the big P.
Dunnable is the name of the brand.
You've been Dunnable.
There's a great story behind the brand, but they are super cool, super interesting, very, very affordable custom shops. Go and check them out.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds. And we're also going to talk... It's going to be Branton-centric this episode.
Is it
going to talk about your quest for a new bass?
This is going to run over. It's going to run over. Yeah, right, okay, anyway. Right, fine. Question.
Rory says, I have a very nice Fender Strat, but it's just too damn heavy for me to play day to day. Recommendations for a really light, cheap guitar for rehearsals and noodles.
What are you talking about, Rory? Strats aren't heavy.
They can be. Strats can be heavy.
Well, okay, I've got the solution for Rory.
The cheaper ones tend to be heavier.
They do. Yeah. Yes, they are. Matt, can you think of any suggestions? Any nice and light sort of Strat-style guitars?
I can think of one.
Okay.
Immediately.
Well, go on then.
Travel guitars.
No.
Yes.
This God, is great. Why are you so rubbish?
No, I love travel guitars. Oh. I'm going to start a travel guitar collection.
No. Can you just travel away guitar. From here?
Travel guitar podcast.
Yeah.
You're going to be like one of those vloggers.
Can that be the next mini-series on the Patreon?
Go and buy... What you need to do is you
Brandon's
need to go...
Brandon's travel guitar...
Odyssey.
Go and buy a £2,000 camera and then tell people about your humble life every day.
Yeah.
And the theme tune has to be The Littlest Hobo.
I am actually going to do that. I'm going to do a 6-episode mini series
about
travel guitars.
No, that sounds horrendous.
It's going to be
absolutely horrendous. I was thinking maybe like an Ibanez S series. They're super lightweight. I don't know what's available now, but always used to be available on the cheaper end of things, the SA120.
What are we saying budget-wise? Are we going to put a budget on this for...
Well, he says affordable, so I'm guessing under £300.
I would say the best thing to go for would be a... it's probably not under £300, but one of those Squire Vinmod Thinline Tellies.
Yeah, yeah.
Super light. Not really the same vibe as a Strat, I guess.
Still Fendery.
And not particularly noodly, I guess. But super light, super fun. Super. What was that?
Oh, I don't know.
super fun to play.
I guess Thin Lines and Hollow Breeze.
Cool alternative.
Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say Epiphone 339.
Ooh, that's a nice idea.
It's not that noodly, though, is it?
He says rehearsals and noodles. I think he just means like playing around on.
Oh, okay.
On that same vein, what about the second place from our Gear of the Year? Something from that. One of the Gretsch Streamline. Not Streamline. What was the name of the series?
I think anything with a centre block, though, is going to be about the same weight as a Strat. What Matt mentioned and the Streamline.
How about if you want something... If it's not for like playing live... Well, I mean, even if it is, but if it's something you want for just like playing at home... Bullet Mustang.
Mm. Oh, a Squire Bullet
Mustang.
Squire
Bullet Mustang. Yeah. Like £150 or something. Yeah. Or 150 quid.
Yeah,
something like that.
No, £118.
£118. Lovely.
Yeah,
really lovely.
That's a good shout.
Like nice and easy to play, you know.
I've got a great one, though.
I can see what it is on your screen. Yeah, and okay. If you say it, I'm going to punch you in the face.
£229.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
£229.
Really?
Excellent.
Here it comes.
Affordable. No, don't hit me.
It's going to come.
It's
if you say the words, the punch is coming.
But it's affordable and brilliant and versatile.
It's one of those things.
The Steinberger Spirit GT Pro Deluxe. Come on, Steinberger. That is what they were designed for. They are the solution to people who want a lightweight guitar. I could have said the Hofner Shorty, which is also very good.
No, that's nowhere near as good.
The Steinberger is great. What's great about the Steinberger is you also get, if you play a Strat, well, it comes with a Trem, which not a lot of the guitars that we've actually... Have any of the guitars that we've suggested actually come with a Trem? You'd have lost the Trem of your Strat unless you go for the Steinberger Spirit GT Pro. You know, you also get rid of other unnecessary things like headstocks and horns.
Ugly as sin, but well made.
It's a shame that Steinberger is a bit of a mystery because about 8 years ago, 2009, 2010,
something like that,
they brought out the... what was it called? I can't remember.
I don't know what you said.
The Trans Trem. That was what it was called.
Right.
So
Steinberger ZT3.
ZT3, thank you. Yes, that is what it's called. So Steinberger is owned under the umbrella of the Gibson brand.
It is.
Company. And they brought out the ZT3... in like 2009 or 2008 or 2010, somewhere around there. And it really looked like they were going to be doing something with Steinberger. And like, you know, everybody got really excited. These Spirit models, they suddenly became available.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, it seemed like that guitar, which again goes back to something we were talking about, with some of the more modern guitars that you've been raving about, Joe.
Yeah.
About how it does tend to be all or nothing. And that's kind of what I felt with the ZT3, is that it was this like bonkers Trans Trem, but it kind of looked like a Super Strat, but it didn't have a headstock. And there was no middle ground. And I really feel like if they could have expanded upon that series.
Yeah.
And like just made a range of cool guitars that sort of went from the sublime to the ridiculous, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it
felt like that one didn't work, and therefore they just gave up on it, which I think is a real shame because there is a place for Steinberger. That place doesn't have to be the bargain bin of gak.co.uk, but that appears to be where that brand is sitting right now.
Well,
unfortunately.
Or in any other guitar shop in the world. Let's just say not specific to a single place, and perhaps not bargain bin. That's probably not the right description. On sale.
Yeah, okay.
At a reduced
price. I just feel like that they're really that company has got so much heritage. Like Joe says, that company does have a lot of heritage, and it really should be doing more than it does. And it does feel a little bit forgotten.
Yeah, I like them. And in the case of, you know, what we're talking about here, they are very cheap and they are very, very well built for the money.
Well, there you go then. They are a perfect solution.
Yeah, I just hate to recommend it to anyone because they look like cricket bats.
No.
They
don't.
Terrible.
They're very tasteful.
Matt Knight, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, just quickly following on from your Ibanez thing, I've had a quick look I think best two Ibanez you could buy that are going to be lightweight and two very different guitars. RG421M, so maple necked RG with two humbuckers and a hardtail. They're like $299. They'll be lightweight. They'll have a thin neck on them. They'll have a contour body. Or if you want something really different, the AF55 semi hollow. They're also pretty lightweight, big body.
It's like sort a of jazz
more
one,
jazz type. Yeah, but they're also $299. But
oh, that's good.
They're nice because obviously unplugged, they're a little bit louder, but they also cover a sort of mellower style as well. So I think something like that would be quite a cool vibe if you don't want to go for a rock guitar or you don't want to go for a Fender or a Gibson or an Ibanez.
Yeah, yeah.
Like rock guitar. This is something a little bit different.
Well, Rory, I hope that's given you some options. Let's do one more question before we peace out for the evening. Johnny says, why are there no Gibsons with maple fretboards? I don't think I've ever seen one. Jay Cross.
You haven't been looking hard enough, mate.
Yes,
that's what I say.
Indeed.
There haven't been very many. Well, actually, there hadn't been very many until fairly recently when baked maple started appearing on the fingerboards of some guitars.
Well, quite a lot of guitars.
Well, yes. Yeah. But to answer your question more specifically, they have been using maple. They've been using maple for quite some time. Go back to like the L6S.
Good shout. I didn't think you would have remembered that.
Great guitar.
Yeah.
Great guitar. I really like the L6S. I think that's wicked. Going back to, that is a guitar that they reissued that about 5 or 6 years ago.
It was a bit
and
pony.
They weren't very good, which is a shame because I like always really liked that guitar. So they used it on the L6S. And then in more sort of recent memory, the Raw Power series, which
absolutely
was
absolutely amazing,
which was like an entry level range of SGs. And
but they were so good though.
They were £700.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, entry level was less than a studio was.
But they came in great finishes. That you could get them in like turquoise with maple neck. That was a great series.
They were essentially what they call SG special now, which is the worn finish, uncovered humbuckers. But they were awesome. It's like really, really nice. Still mahogany neck, but maple board.
They've actually held their money very well.
Yes, power. Well, because they're, you know, it's a weird thing, an SG with a maple board, and actually the combination works really well.
And they also did some expensive guitars because the Zakk Wylde Les Paul Custom
they
came
did
in a maple neck finish.
Indeed, and that was actually that was maple neck rather than mahogany neck, because the SG, the Raw Power series was mahogany neck with a maple board.
They were maple with a maple
board. Were they?
Board.
You sure about that?
Well, maple.
The Zakk was.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
No, apparently the Raw Powers as well. Yeah, maybe you're right, actually.
I'm
pretty sure they were all, as far as I remember, they were all maple because they were so super, super bright.
Yeah.
Well, they did, on the bass front, they made basses out of only maple. They did the Ripper, which was completely maple.
Carved out of a single tree, I think. Yes.
And the L6S as well is actually maple body.
Actually, just in we might actually miss this. In the YouTube chat, Juan has just pointed out that also the Marauder and the S1, both Gibson guitars with maple necks. So there are a bunch out there. Sorry?
RDs.
Were they maple as well?
Oh, they did maple necks for the basses.
Yeah, no, they're rosewood board, I think, or ebony board. I think they're even ebony board.
I think they were rosewood board, but I think they had a maple neck.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It seemed to me that
the powers were definitely, they were maple with a maple fret.
Okay, cool. A lot of the 70s stuff and early 80s stuff seems to be maple board and occasionally maple neck. I don't know why. I guess it probably just cheap.
It's
been quirky.
I mean, a lot of people are using baked maple now because it's a more kind of stable wood. Once you bake all the moisture out of it, it has quite a richness to it. You know, it vibrates and resonates really nicely, but it's really stable compared to rosewood, for example, which is an open wood, which is way more susceptible to humidity and temperature changes.
You're also not going to get your factory raided with
that's
with
true
maple board.
Yeah, and it's nice and cheap. Maple appears to be a cheaper option. So
completely.
So yeah, definitely. Whether it's in the guise of the baked baked maple necks now that look like rosewood, or just the raw maple, as it were. There have actually been quite a few Gibsons over the years with maple boards and maple necks. So
yeah.
Do check them out. L6S is a bit of a weird one to bring up, but yeah, definitely.
I really like them. I think they're very cool.
They are also Veritone. They got the Veritone switch on there.
Oh, I see you did. That's nice. I liked it.
Very good. Very good. And with that, we are up at an hour, so we should wrap this bad boy up. If you have been watching on youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, as we mentioned at the top of the episode, just in case you missed it, this is going to be our last ever live streamed episode on YouTube. Well, not last ever, but last for the moment, live streamed episode to YouTube. If you've enjoyed what you have seen/heard on YouTube, you can keep up with the audio podcast, which is the same thing, just without the video component. GuitarNerds.net/podcast, or search for us on iTunes or Downcast or Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also go to patreon.com/guitarnerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can get the ad-free audio version of the podcast. And at the $5 a month tier, you will also get an extra half an hour of content every week. Now, a bit of an important announcement about this. We're changing, after this week, how we do this half an hour of Patreon content, in that we are going to let you, our dear listeners, choose the topics. Every Friday in the Facebook group, we're going to put up 3 or 4 topics for you to choose from in a poll that will then form the discussion of that Monday's Patreon episode. So,
hooray.
Bit of interaction. We'll put up some stuff there that may be a bit controversial, and you can choose it if you so wish. So, yeah, we're going to be letting you decide the content of the Patreon. So that's a $5 tier, where you also get access to the mini-series like Branton's Rant On and
Branton's Travel Guitar Odyssey.
Yep, and what we're potentially calling Crosstalk, where Jay talks to some record producers about guitar sound and how to get good guitar tone, plus the occasional interview. We did one at the end of last month, which was Cynthia Schemmer from She Shreds magazine, and we've got some more stuff going up there. Matt's talking to creators of excellent pedals like JHS and who else are you talking to, Matt?
I've got Earthquaker, potentially Zvex, and some other cool people that will become clear in the future.
So people who are making cool guitar stuff, you'll get to hear full-length interviews anywhere between half an hour and an hour with them on the Patreon as well.
Maybe so, longer, depends how much we
how much you waffle,
how deep we go.
Plus, as we're now not doing the live streaming to YouTube, we may also do some video stuff over on Patreon as well. So lots of stuff to get you listening to and watching at the $5 a month tier. If you are feeling flush and you want to support us at the $10 tier, which is limited to 20 backers, and I think we're up at 20 at the moment, so there's not actually a free space, you get all that cool stuff at $10, plus you get your name read out like this. I'm trying to think of a...
Derek Rich, Cross Canners, Andrew Juice, Angela Merkel, Tony Blair, Carlos Manta, Andrew Marco, Mark Cruz, Jaddy Shard, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Pal Carrigan, Jock Goodfrey, Will Claw, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quan, Phil Tamsetterin, Larry Anstasisis, Moog Gravel, Colin Anderland,
China. Thanks so much for listening this week, and thanks if you have been watching on YouTube and you've been watching every week. Thank you for joining us there. Do continue to go to and sign up for the audio podcast as well. We are on what, episode 98 this week? That means we're 2 weeks out.
No, this is 99.
No, it's not. This is 98.
Okay.
This is 98. Next week, 99. And then the week after, podcast episode 100, which means...
will we make it past... Because that's what we're on, isn't it? We're on 100.
You always quit when we get to 100.
I always quit when
we
get to 100. Maybe I've got an announcement. I haven't got an announcement.
Oh, please quit.
But what I have got is a jam-packed quiz with some excellent rounds.
Oh, no.
I'm in charge of the quiz. Plus... we can, you know, we won't be live streaming it, so we can have some real fun with that, I think. May even be able to play in, like, sound samples and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Super, super fun. So yeah, guitarnerds.net/podcast. If you want to join in the conversation about the podcast or anything Guitar Nerds, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerds forum, @guitarnerds on Twitter, @guitarnerds on Instagram, where we're messing around with some live streaming stuff and images and all the usual guff. I think that's everything. So we will see you. Well, we won't see you. You will hear us next week. Thanks very much.
Farewell.
Bye, gang.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.